Let me start by acknowledging and celebrating the grace of God upon my host and hostess for their holding on to the faith and their long-standing and long-suffering in the ministry. One of my friends it was who said that whenever a man of God has been doing God's work and he has done it for a long time, honor him. And that's what we have here tonight in the presence of Reverend and Mrs. Alex Adeguri. We also have a lot of our seniors in the house, and we celebrate them as well. When this topic was sent to me, and I was requested to be part of your celebration this year, and on this topic especially, it tells me straight away where this church is heading. We are going to heaven. I'm a Puritan. And I'm an unrepentant Puritan. I can't change. It's too late. Because I've seen it all. What am I to change to? I've seen it all. I've been preaching for 48 years. I have seen it all. There are 6 continents in this world. I have been to them all. I have seen it all. There are people you should listen to. For many of you, where you are coming is where we live. For many of you, we are living the answer to your prayers. And there are those you should listen to. The desire and the creation of appetite for heaven while we are here, and to create a hunger and a longing, is the reason we are gathered here. Because we know this place is not our place. And nothing must suggest that in this place that we have a continuing city. No, no. And it is in this kind of place, in this kind of conference and gathering, that I need to remind you about what the plan of God all along had been. That God was in heaven, in the comfort of the company of angels, and had no need of anything. The only time we had people who are creating problems in heaven in the person and mold of Satan, they threw him out of the place so the place can have peace. God was not in the desperate situation to find an alternative home by making the earth and putting Adam and Eve there. No. The desire of God was to develop and create an annex to heaven where people can come from heaven to come on vacation here, come and just an alternative community, as it were. And so he created this place and put Adam there, he put Eve there, and it was a perfect state. And he himself was visiting the place. He did not create this place and put Adam and Eve there and then abandon them. He had a desire to develop a human community that would be an alternative community to heaven that he can shuttle. And people here can also go there. people hear over time, you know they were going there. Elijah went there. Enoch went there. People were going there from here. And they were coming here. And God was desiring and designing and developing an alternative society that heaven can shuttle the earth and the earth can shuttle the heaven. That was the plan. And it was a perfect state. And if anything was missing in heaven, the earth was to provide the complements. And if anything was missing in the earth, the heaven was to provide the complement. And he himself, God himself, was visiting this place. He was not coming in some other mysterious way that could not be comprehended by the human beings who were here. He was talking to them. They were talking to him. He was coming in the spiritual, physical. They will see him. He will talk to them. They will talk to him. And somebody had asked me, when God was coming here, coming to the Garden of Eden and was talking to Adam and Eve, what language was he speaking? I cannot speculate that I know, but you remember what Paul told the Corinthians, that though I speak with the tongue of men and of the culture blended, the language blended, the relationships blended. Heaven was once upon a time on earth. And it was in God's core desire to have it like that. That desire remained a struggle till this day. And this is what becomes pain and embarrassment to people like us. Needless to say, that the plan of God keeps getting frustrated somewhere along the way. I want to bring you face to face with the mood in heaven tonight, that what God planned to do became frustrated. That one day, a certain snake entered the place and proposed an alternative diet. And they ate, not because they were hungry. And God said, look, this is not the plan. But since you have become wayward at it, can you please leave here? That God drove them out and did not replace them. And leave the place empty. The plan kept failing. Then God said, okay, what are we going to do? As an evangelist, I understand the mood of God when it comes to sin and his attitude. That he who drove them out also got up one day and began to look for them. One of my members one day got angry with the daughter and said, leave here. I sent you to school. You came back with pregnancy. Leave this house. You have spoiled our name. And after a while, mothers are tied to their children a bit more than fathers are. Mother said, where is Bidemi? Then somebody said they saw Bidemi in Abuja. And during last Christmas, daddy saw people who came from Abuja who ought to know where Bidemi are. You are the one who drove her away that is spoiling your name. since God drove them out. There is no other Adam. You don't have an only thing and throw it away. So he developed. Let's find a way to continue. The Bible spoke at some point that Noah found favor with God. Praise God. And the world that we left to see whether we could get amendment and correction became terrible, became worse, became satanic, became corrupted. And God said, no, this is not the world I made. So he wiped them out. And the Bible says Noah found grace with God. So another world started with Noah. Noah, who survived the flood, started drinking. And Satan will as well go to God and say, see the people you spare. I'm talking about a serial frustration on the side of God in God trying to develop an alternative community. Each time the one goes by, they let me try to let me start another one. They throw the let's start on that one. Throw the let's start on that one. Sodom and Gomorrah. When God said, I will no longer destroy the world with water, we hear. But Sodom had become worse than the time of Noah. And you say you will not destroy them with water, so go and bring fire. And God wiped them out with fire and spared Lot. No sooner than Lot survived, Lot started sleeping with his daughter and also started something that was worse than the ones they wiped out. The frustration on the side of heaven in the project he started in the Garden of Eden, till today, God continues to be embarrassed about the original concept, the original project. We want a human community. We are satisfied with the community of angels, but we are trying to develop something different. We are not getting it. How can God be embarking on a project and he is not getting it? Because people won't let it work. Israel came up. God said, well, let's have an alternative community. Long, long, long desire. Let's have an alternative. Let's have a separate territory. Let's call it a place, a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's create another set of people. Let's call them and give them a name. Circumcise them to mark them out. Give them rules and regulations to live with. Go to Israel today. Only 4% of Israel are Christians. The remaining 96 say they don't know Jesus and they don't want to know. Then God said, all right, maybe what we will do, let's carry God himself and put God inside the man. When Jesus said, you may say, we are waiting for the kingdom of God. Say, the kingdom of God is, we have put God inside. Heaven is in you. Wherever God is, that's heaven. Heaven is in you. But this you that we put the whole of God inside, even God is struggling with you. Erin ten rin na o je ko ye mi pe oro erin le pe. I'm telling you about a project that has not been working. And this is the last one. When this doesn't work, nothing more. Let nobody sit down here and think that another Jesus is coming. No other Jesus is coming. No other Holy Spirit is coming. This is your last chance. We put the whole of God inside you.
and you're on your way touching something that the whole of heaven considered to be abominable, the Holy Spirit is struggling with your conscience. Your heart is beating, boo, boo, boo. You shrug it off, you go ahead and do it. And the heaven is keep looking and say, what is this again? What more are we to do? And Lord, the graces you have enjoyed, you wasted them. You know how many of you wrote jam? You passed. The miracles you have enjoyed, you wasted them. You know when you are entering labor room and it was like between heaven and earth. You came out with your baby. While you were there, you saw who, those who died. The miracles God has been doing in your life, you wasted them. By now, some of you, by experience and the events of your relationship and work with God, should have become a pastor. You should have become an experienced person. When Saul told David that, David, you cannot fight Goliath. David said, I can fight Goliath because I have experience. When I was on my father's farm, this was what happened. God did this. Then God did this. Some of you should be able now to articulate the things God had done. And on that account, move to the next level. You wasted them. And for 20 years, you have not become anything. And we are still the ones struggling to get you to church, struggling to get you to pay tithe. At the time, we need to send you to go and help us settle quarrel somewhere. You are the one quarreling yourself. The biggest embarrassment in church for the leaders are those who refuse to grow. 10-year-old still tying nappy. Those who don't grow embarrass parents. I'm telling you about the frustration God faced with the plans that are not working. God desires that you have a territory that we can call heaven. Look, when Jesus said that when we pray, we should say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what do you think was in his mind? He was looking for a situation where he can create a mini heaven somewhere. You can showcase a small heaven. You can create a little heaven where God can be pleased to always be. And each time we violate the rules, God walks away. One day, I had a staff, Mrs. Ajanaku. I came to work and my staff told me that Mrs. Ajanaku is not behaving well anymore. It's going mad. She'll come to work and forget to take care of herself. Her children are small. She will not wash them. She will not dress them. They don't go to school. She will carry them. They carry their dresses under their school uniform under their armpit and follow their mother to work. And I said, okay. Then they called me and told me that Mrs. Ajanaku is becoming mad. And I said, okay. Put her in the car. Drive her to my house and wait for me. They brought the woman to my house. And when I came, Mrs. Ajanaku said, please, I want to go back home because I'm now well. My wife runs a motherless baby's home, and 6 out of the 84 children in the home are from mad women. We take the children from mad women on the streets. One day I saw a mad woman walking naked on the street of Ilorin like this. And I told my wife, say, before you know it, somebody is going to impregnate this one, and then another baby is coming on the streets. Then my wife said, what are we going to do? I said, well, what are we going to do? Let's take her off the street. Sunday it was. We took her to a hospital. The hospital said, psychiatric people don't work on Sundays. We are to come on Monday. I'm traveling to Nairobi the next day. Where do I keep this woman till the next day? I took her to our home. She got to our home and became well. God is looking for a home that will be like. And this is my prayer tonight. Rashida called me and said, sir, I'm now well. I said, how can I know? Where are you from? He said, I know where I come from. I'm from Ibadan. I said, okay, do you know your home in Ibadan? Can we trace your home? I called somebody in Ibadan, tell me. She told me, I sent somebody, follow this address that Rashida has described. And we got to know her village, one of these villages as you are trying to exit Ibadan towards Iwo. That's where they live. Her father is an Alaji, an Afa. And once the person I said got to the place, please, do you know Rashida? They said, it's our daughter here. We've been looking for her for 4 years. We don't know where she is. So she trekked from Ibadan to Ilorin over 4 years. I don't know how many years she spent in Oyo. I don't know how many years she spent in Ogbomosho. But after 4 years, she arrived in Ilorin and we saw her walking naked on the street. And we picked her. I contacted Kwara State Government, who also spoke to Ministry of Social Welfare in Oyo, because we are now crossing to another state, that we are bringing somebody from Kwara to Ibadan. And it's during this soca. So we were afraid they would mob us for kidnapping her. So government officials followed us from Ilorin till we got here. And Rashida kept saying, follow here. Follow here. That's our house over there. And we got to the house. Listen, see the people coming out and weeping. She's a mother of three. The children were hugging and weeping and crying around her. Mama, where have you been? That she wanted to go into the bush to ease herself and did not know the way home again and kept going as if she would get home and kept going as if she got to Ilorin after 4 years. Completely mad and walking about naked. So we brought Rashida back to Ibadan and reunited her with her people. And we were taking care of her, we were praying. Then the people said, look, this one that we have seen her with you, we now know where she is. Please go back with her. Yeah? Rashida now lives with us and has a supermarket. Heaven on earth. And from the money she made from the supermarket, she sponsored her children in Ibadan. I pray that your home will become a small heaven. Amen. Where people can come and become well. Amen. Say amen if you want it to. Amen. Our churches, God designed to develop an alternative society, an alternative community that will look like heaven on earth. And he promised us that whenever we gather, he will be there. But the things we do, he comes in, he stays at the door and simply look inside, and there are those of us he sees and he walks away. Don't want to belong here. A friend of mine, Hezekiah, Prophet Hezekiah Garajolode, they were to dedicate a very big church, CAC, and they were waiting for him to come and commission it. He got to the door. The first leg he put inside the door, a voice told him, Hezekiah, remove your leg. I am not here. Olorun gbo ohun yen ni Yoruba so yo ese pada mi o si ni You can be many. You can be rich. God designing the church as another alternative community is also facing a lot of frustration because of the kind of people we gather inside church. And some of you are the reason why God refused to stay among us. One day, a blind man on Sunday morning was going to come to me for prayer. And I told him, I said, look, I am the one to preach now. I cannot attend to you now. Follow me to inside the church. When we finish the service, I will pray for you. If I stay here praying for you now, I'm the one, the choir is already singing. They will call me now. So he said, it's all right, sir. So I call an usher. Please, guide him. So doing like this. Doing like this. The usher. So I told the usher, make him sit behind me. I don't want to start looking for him after service. Let him sit here. So he sat there. So he was coming in to sit there. As he was doing like this to figure out the door of the church and put a handle, the first leg he put inside the church, he saw. Ibe no ti pada. God intends our church to become heaven on earth. A place he can stay. And I pray that the project with God that is failing in the whole world is failing territorially, it's failing in Israel, is failing by the church. You get to some church and you wonder, is this church? The greed for members to swell our figures and to create impressive statistics have opened the church to all kinds of people. The church is not for all kinds of people. We want to be many, quite all right, but God does not want to fill the house with those that will spoil the place. How many of you, if you build a house in GRA in Ibadan and you put a tenant, and the tenant is saying that he wants to be cooking wood with firewood, cooking food with firewood. I say, and in this house, what you will do is to eject him. That's what God keeps doing. When anything is no more complying with the tenets of his intention, he vacates them. That's the reason this whole world will also be thrown out. And we will be going to a place that is called heaven by all standards. But Jesus intends that in this place, we should have a small experience of heaven. In Genesis chapter 28, when Jacob was running away, he came to a crossroad in his life, as we always sometimes often do. Where he had a stone for a pillow, and the hardest thing became his softest. And on that, he saw heaven open. God still desiring to develop a relationship. There are no angels like men. So Jacob had a dream. He dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. A ladder set up on the earth, this same earth.
And the people in heaven were coming and going. This was ever the plan, that God will have an earth where people will be coming and going. And behold, the Lord stood over and beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you, to your descendants, the land on which you are lying. 14. Your offspring shall be as countless as the dust or sand of the ground, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and the north and the south. And by you and your offspring, by you and your offspring, God still desiring to raise a separate community. He's looking away. Listen, God, as a matter of fact, have given up on the earth. He has given up. But he continues to look in your direction. He continues to look in your direction that, okay, I've given up on these fellows. They're not listening. We're talking, they're not listening. Can we develop an alternative, strong relationship that I can call you by a name that is attached to me? I've given up on them. But the same reason he's giving up on them is also the reason he's giving up on some of us. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the north, and to the south by you and your offspring. This service tonight is looking beyond you. This service tonight is looking up to your second and third generation. This service tonight has decided to asterisk your name and whatever come out of it. This service tonight is looking beyond you. This service tonight is looking beyond you. You are not as ordinary as you look. God has a plan beyond what you are thinking. God is looking at you beyond you. He's saying he's looking at your second and third generation. You are not supposed to waste it. Because he has no other plan. After this, there's no. Verse 15. And behold, I'm with you, and we keep you, watch over you with care, wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done all of which I have told you. 16. And Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know. That in this same place where you are, God is. God is with you more than you think. God is with you beyond your sin. God is with you beyond your transgressions. Because he has a plan. And that plan has also taken care of your transgressions. That plan has also taken care of your inadequacies. That care has also designed what to do with your weaknesses. You are a very big part of his plan. And nothing of your demerit is going to scuttle God's plan. He has a covenant. That's the reason you came here. If that is not so, you will not be here. God has a plan for your life. You should not waste it. In Matthew chapter 17, don't waste it and don't continue to frustrate God's plan. Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Verse 2. And his appearance underwent a change in their presence. His face shone clear and bright like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, who kept talking with him.
Then Peter began to speak and said to Jesus, "It is good and delightful that we are here. If you approve, I will put up 3 booths here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a shining cloud composed of light overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am delighted. Listen to him." Verse 6. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were seized with alarm and struck with fear. 7. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Get up. Do not be afraid." In this experience that we gleefully describe as the Mountain of Transfiguration experience, were people who lived here before and went to heaven and came back. So people were going to heaven and coming back here. And the experience on the mountain, because of the presence of God and the saints, there was a recreation of the environment and the territory experience. If you are there, you will know that this place is no more earth. It's like heaven on earth. And from time to time, God wants to draw you into a circle where you can experience heaven on earth. It will be so privatized and classified. Jesus, when they were coming, listen, when they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus told them, he said, "What you have seen here, don't tell people. You need to develop certain peculiar experiences. You need to develop a spiritual CV of your own about your work with God that nobody else knows about." Paul said he was taken to third heaven. You should develop this ordinary Christianity you are doing, won't get you anywhere. God wants you to design spiritual experiences that are native to you. In 1984, Charles Achonwa was to preach in Egbe. But he said he was going to Bauchi and asked me to preach in Egbe, in Kogi State. So I started the meeting. I said this in a few places. 1984. You see, I'm not a newcomer. If you will listen, listen. If you will not, don't. When we get home, I will tell our father that I told you. If you ask me the topic of my sermon in 1984, I cannot remember. But there's something that happened, a little heaven that was created in a space of about 10 minutes that I will never forget till Jesus comes. As I was praying for the people, an angel stood beside me. If I close my eyes, I see him. If I open my eye, I don't see him. His heat, his body heat was affecting me and I was moving for him. When I move for him, he follow me. And the heat will make me open my eye again and I will not see him. But then I concentrated on my duty. The people who were on the front row as we were praying, it's a place, it's an environment. The crowd, those days, we were not talking of crowd. We were talking about the presence of God. Now, the people who were in front, like you are in the front row, as we were praying, the chairs in the front row lifted up in the air with the people who were sitting on them and brought them to the altar and bent them, and they all fell. And the chairs went back and rearranged themselves where they were. If you throw a dead body inside that meeting that day, he doesn't need prayer to rise up. I pray for you that you will experience heaven in your own dimension and privacy, that you can describe that you have seen your own heaven. And that will make it difficult. It will make it difficult for you to backtrack from it because you have seen it. What you see, what you know, reinforces your commitment. It will be difficult for you to backtrack because you have seen it. What will I say about my meetings, other meetings? I prayed since 1984. Listen, since 1984, I prayed to God, and I've prayed it over 100 times, that God will grant me a similar experience again, and I have not seen it. I even asked God to let me see it before I die, so I can claim a second one. I have not seen it, but I have seen others. I pray for you as you are here tonight. This meeting is not a joke. We are not here for non-entity stuff. I pray for you that you will have an experience of heaven. And listen, it will be your own experience. It will be your own experience. It will be your own experience. The one we tell you can debate it. The one we tell you can argue about it. Some of you don't even know where Ebe is. The one we tell you can doubt it. But you cannot doubt your own experience. Nobody can debate your own experience with you. The man who was blind in John chapter 9, they were trying to argue his miracle. He said, well, I don't know. Once I was blind, now I see. That is my experience. They say Jesus Christ is a sinner, don't mind him and all that. Well, I don't know about that. But one thing I know is that once I was blind, but now I see. And that ends the argument. People can deceive you. People can tell you lies. Your own experience cannot deceive you. Rise up on your feet and let us pray.